God has not changed his mind concerning redemption. And the reason I titled it that way, sometimes believers have a tendency to forget, and we are told not to let the word of God slip. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. We're told never to let the word of God slip, but you can get caught up and tied up with the circumstances of life and whatever it is you're dealing with, and maybe possibly in your personal life, and you can forget what the word of God says. Sometimes you find yourself listening to people that's giving you their opinion about the word of God, and their opinion is not necessarily what the word of God actually says. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not what I think, and it's not what you think. It's what God thinks, and it's what God says that's going to set us free. And that's the reason Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free or set you free." Amen. And let me say something else about the truth. It's the truth you know that sets you free. Let me say that again. It's the truth you know that sets you free. I think I need to say that again. Jesus said, "You shall what? Know the truth, and the truth shall make you free or set you free." Amen. But you got to understand, it's the truth you know. It's the truth that you put to practice in your life will set you free. Glory be to God. Amen. Now, turn back again in your Bibles to Psalm 107, the 107th Psalm. The 107th Psalm. Hallelujah. Psalm 107. And I want to read it again. We read it last week, and I want to read it again. Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." For he is good. God is good. "For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Are words of redemption flowing from your lips? Or is it words of doubt, unbelief, worry, complaining? No, it says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who has been redeemed from the hand of the enemy." We have been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So whatever it is that the enemy is doing, we have already been redeemed. Hallelujah. And we went also, and I'll go again to the 91st Psalm, and let's go back there again. I love this Psalm. "He who dwells," this is verse 1, "he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Read verse 2, please. Amen. All right, but let's read it again. It's on the screen. Let's read it again together. Go.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I trust.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. And my God, in Him I will trust. Amen. Glory to God. And we'll go back to Psalm 91 later on. But I want you to understand something. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so," and we are redeemed through Jesus Christ, right? And through Jesus Christ, let me say it this way. We are redeemed because the Lord Jesus Christ paid a very high price for us. He paid a very high price for us. That's the reason. It's a sad day when a person hears the gospel and then they turn their back and say, "No, I do not want Jesus in my life." He paid a high price for us, brothers and sisters. How much am I worth? How much are you worth? You was worth Him coming here and suffering, dying on the cross, taking your hell for you, going to hell in your place and my place, so that we could be free. See, and I know you know this already, but not every, sometimes we can assume that everybody know, but sometimes sometimes there are simple things that people just hadn't grasped yet. But the word redeemed in the Greek, from the word redeemed in the Greek, you get the word ransom. Ransom. For anybody interested, if you want to know what the Greek word is for redemption or redeemed, it's lutrio. Lutruo. And it's spelled L-U-T-R-O-O. Redeemed. Jesus paid a ransom to get us back out of the hand of the devil. Remember, I was ministering to you a few weeks ago on how that we have been delivered from the powers of darkness, and now we are the children of light. Sin always costs you something. And all of us owed a debt we couldn't pay. You hear me? All of us owed a debt that we could not pay. But Jesus paid the debt that He didn't even owe. You still with me? Let's go back to the book of beginnings. Y'all know where that is, don't you? The very first chapter, Genesis. Now, if you already know this, just bear with me. But I want to bring this out to you. The Bible tells us that God is good. And he's good all the time. And all the time, God is good. And because of his nature and his nature of love, God is always looking for ways that he can bless us. Amen? Now, in Genesis chapter 1, I want to read to you beginning at verse 27. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." Amen. In other words, let me read that again. I want you to see something here. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In other words, he created mankind. Male and female. He created man. And then, of course, you know the story. I won't read all that. But Adam fell into a sleep. And, of course, God took one of his ribs and made the woman, right? All right. Amen. Look at verse 28. "Then God blessed them." You see that? Notice he didn't just bless Adam, he blessed them. "And God said to them," not to him, to them, "be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." Notice, you see that? Fill the earth and subdue it. "Have dominion." Everybody say dominion. Dominion. "Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, who said?
God.
"And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth," you see that? "Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given," which there is life, "I have given every green herb for food. And it was so." Notice something. Oh, let me read verse 31. There's one verse left in this chapter. "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was" what? I love verse 31 because before this, you know, God would create something and then he'd step back and take a look at it, and the Bible would say, "And it was good." And then he would create something else, and the Word of God said, "And it was good." And you go on like that, "And it was good." But notice something. When God placed man, Adam and Eve, in charge of everything that he had made. Y'all listening? Because you have to understand, they were created in his image and in his likeness. So when he took the man and the woman that he had made, and he put everything under them, And then God stepped back and said, now it's very good. It's very good. Let me read 31 again. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we see here, we can see very clearly that God was very, very pleased at what he had created. He created this earth, placed the animals, the vegetation, all of that on this earth, then he put man in charge of it. Subdue, have dominion. You've heard the story, Satan being kicked out of heaven, right? Yeah, amen. Well, guess where he was? Hanging around earth. So now stay with me on this. God gave it to man. And Adam and Eve were supposed to bear children and populate the world, you know, be fruitful and multiply, and mankind was supposed to be in charge of everything that he had created. But Adam sold out, didn't he? Look at chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, still in Genesis. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Oh, by the way, I skipped this part. He did tell Adam not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was in the midst of the garden, right? He did. He told him, says, now that tree in the midst of the garden, don't eat of that tree. Now, let me say that tree, something very, very brief. You know, we could think and say, why did God put it there if he didn't want it to be touched, or if he didn't want them to eat the fruit from that tree? Why have it there? Lord, just don't create that tree. Can I tell you something? God does not create robots. Let me say that again. God does not create robots. Now follow me on this. You have to understand, the Bible says that he created mankind in his image and in his likeness. Guess what God has the liberty to do? Make decisions. Guess what? God says, I have created man in my image and in my likeness, and I have given him a perfect garden to live in and to tend. I have put him in charge of everything. But I don't want man to follow me because he has to. I want him to follow me because he chooses to. Still stands true today. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior one day because I chose to. And so did you. You do it because you choose to. That tree of knowledge, of the knowledge of good and evil, every time Adam saw it, He made a choice. I'm not touching that tree. I'm not eating that fruit. I'm going to obey God. God told me to leave it alone. I'm going to leave it alone because he told me the day that I eat it, I'm going to die. And when he said he was going to die, he meant he was going to die spiritually. Of course, eventually, physically too. Y'all do know Adam did eventually die. And so does everybody else. So does everybody else. But he had a choice. Oh, isn't it a beautiful thing to serve the Lord because we choose to? Because we choose to. Do you know that's the reason you attempt it? That's the reason Satan tempts you? Because he knows you have a choice. You have a choice. Even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had a choice. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have said, forget that crowd. Just forget y'all. This is too high a price to pay. You know the story, I'm sure. As he was praying, he asked his father, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But he quickly said, nevertheless, not. See, he had a will in this matter. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Don't you love Jesus? I say, don't you love Jesus? Oh, I hope that's getting through to you. Hallelujah. God loves us so much because, and we're creating his image and in his likeness that, you know, if we want to go to hell, he'll let us go to hell, which will eventually lead to the lake of fire. Some folk think, you know, some folk think going to hell, that's a big deal. They're going to get down there and party. Not happening. And what a lot of people don't realize is hell's not the worst of it. Do you hear me? Hell is not, let me say that again. Hell is not the worst. It gets worse. Read your Bible. Read the book of Revelation. The Bible tells us that one day those that are in hell right now and those that are going, one day we'll stand before an almighty God, the almighty God, and give an account of their life here on the earth. Books will be open, but their names will not be found in the book of life. And guess what? The Bible tells us that hell itself and all the beast, false prophet, Antichrist, all of that crowd, including those who reject Jesus, is going to be thrown, not in hell, into the lake of fire. That's worse. See, those in hell, they are going to get to come out long enough to face the white throne judgment, which will be no party. And it's all because God gave us a will. We get to choose our future because we're made in his image and in his likeness. Are you still with me? So now let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Y'all don't mind me taking my time with this, do you? We're still on redemption, but I want you to understand something here. In Genesis chapter 3, again, begin at verse 1, it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now, see, folk are still falling for those lies that the devil did God really say that? Do the word of God really mean that? We got preachers right now telling people there is no hell, that the Bible don't really mean what it said. You know, it's bad enough to go to hell and you know you're going and you refuse to do anything about it. But it's even worse to go and you didn't think you were going because you didn't think it existed. It's going to happen to some folks. There are folks that teach, there is no hell, there is no hell, there is no hell. Okay. But it don't change just because they say it's not so. And that's what Satan tried with Eve. He wanted to get her to question and doubt what God has said. And verse 2, "And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said," now you see what hear what she's saying, "God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman," listen at this, he called God a lie, "you will not surely die." Wow. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Well, she was already created in his image and his likeness. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." And the moment that happened, everything that God had given Adam and Eve to subdue, to have dominion over, they turned it all over to the devil. Because your God, your Lord, is who you obey. He point blank said, "God is lying to you, Eve." That's essentially what he was telling her. You won't die. Matter of fact, your eyes will be open and you are no good and evil. When God had provided for them only good. Everything good. Now we got a problem, though. Now Satan is the god of this world. He became the god of this world, the god of this world system. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Corinthians. How the god of this world has blinded the eyes of men and women so that, you know, that they won't come to Jesus Christ, that they won't serve him. He tried to blind their minds. And he's referred to as the god of this world, and that's always a little g. Don't you ever forget that. There's only one God. It's always a little g. When Satan was tempting Jesus in Luke chapter 4. This is what he told Jesus. He said, if you will bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. He says, I'll give them to you. And you know what he said? We won't turn over there, but you can read it later on. This is in Luke, the 4th chapter. He says, all these kingdoms of the world, Jesus, that I'm going to give to you if you worship me, they have been delivered to me. They have been delivered to me. Well, when were they delivered to him? When Adam gave it up. When Adam committed high treason. When Adam chose to obey the devil rather than obey what God said. All because the fruit on the tree looked good. That lets us know everything that looked good ain't good. Let me say that again. Everything that looks good's not good. If it don't line up with the Bible, it ain't good. Stay away from it. It may look good, it may smell good, it may sound good, but if it ain't good, you better stay away from it. And that includes some people. Hallelujah. Nobody has ever been tempted by anything that was ugly, stinking, you know, smelly. I mean, anybody in here, and I know you may think I'm, but I'm making a point. Anybody in here ever been tempted to have waste for dinner? I'm talking about toilet waste. That's disgusting, isn't it? There's absolutely no, don't care how hungry you get, there's absolutely no temptation there. The enemy is not going to offer you that. He's going to offer you that that's pretty. Smell good, look good, sound good. Glory to God. Now, wow, time is flying. Turn to 1 Peter, first chapter. So we see that Adam sold out. And because he sold out, guess what? We lost out. How many of you forgive Adam for doing such a dumb thing? I do, because Jesus came and set me free. Hallelujah. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, now, we understand God put Adam in charge, and Adam blew it, sold out to the devil. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, we see where Jesus paid the price to get us back. Verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct, received by tradition from your fathers, but with what? Huh? But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed, oh, I love verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are where? In God. Here's the thing that's so awesome about God. He knows everything. He know already who's going to heaven and who's not. Because he's God, he knows. Now, we make our own decisions, but God already knows what decision we're going to make. So God knew ahead of time that Adam was going to make a bad decision. He already knew ahead of time that Adam was going to sell out. Go back to verse 20, 1 Peter 1:20. I want to read this again. See, God is so awesome. Put it on the screen for me. All right. Listen, he indeed, talking about Jesus, was foreordained even before Adam was created. Even before he fell, Jesus was already foreordained before the foundation of the world. I tell you what, God got everything covered. He crosses every T. He dots every I. He don't miss nothing. Nothing. He already knew. He didn't make Adam do it. He told Adam, don't you do it. Because if you eat that fruit, you're going to die. He told him. He gave him a command. Don't do it. But God already knew that Adam would disobey him. So God had a plan. His name is Jesus. Tell you something else God already knew. Remember we mentioned Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he asked his father, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Well, you know what? I told you earlier, Jesus had a will in the matter. But you know what? The Father already knew that his Son was not going to let him down. Although he could have said, forget it. But God the Father already knew that Jesus was going to come through for him. He already knew that Jesus would not leave his creation to the devil in hell and torment. Oh, what a blessing. I said, what a blessing. Everything that the devil planned against us, God already had an answer for our deliverance. So, whatever it is you may be facing in your life right now, God already knows about it. It didn't take him by surprise, and he already have an answer for you. You look to him, and you look to his word. Trust him. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. I love that song. What a mighty God we serve. You can't pull the wool over his eyes. Even when it looks hopeless, God has still got it together. Because he already know what the end going to be. And if you know anything about the word of God, you should know what the end going to be too. I heard a person say one time, I read the end of the book and we win. Praise the name of the Lord. All right, I got to wind this up real quick, real quick. All righty. I'm going to come back later. It won't be tonight. We won't have time to 1 Peter chapter 1. But right now, I want to go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Is this blessing y'all? Sure is blessing me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Titus chapter 2. Let's drop down to verse 11. Now, you know, Titus, you know, Pastor Titus and the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to him, and not just to him, for to us too. But it says, verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Somebody say amen. "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope." Is anybody else besides me looking for the blessed hope? Amen. "The coming of the Lord." Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. Now look at verse 14. "Who gave himself for us that he might do what? That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people." Say, that's me.
That's me.
Hallelujah. "Zealous for good works." And now listen what the Apostle Paul told Titus, and I'm going to stop right here for sake of time. But listen what he told him in verse 15. He says, "Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." Now, this is what he just told him. I like to say it this way. He's, and leave verse 15 up there just a minute. He says, "Speak these things. Speak these things. Exhort, rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you." In other words, what was he telling Titus? He said, "Titus, what I just been telling you, brother, that's good preaching. Preach these things. Preach these things. Preach these things. Preach these things. Teach these things." Hallelujah. I love it. I love it because it gives us hope. And we have been redeemed. We've been redeemed. And like I said, I actually meant to go faster than I am going. But this is so important. See, we have been redeemed from so much. And we're going to talk about some of the things that we have been redeemed from. You hear me? Not this evening, but we're going to talk about some things that we have been redeemed from. See, let me tell you, as we close out, we must be, y'all listen to me? We must be redemption minded. When you are redemption minded, you just don't take any and everything. You just don't let any and everything come down the pipe. "Well, I guess I just have to deal with this. I guess this is just my lot in life. Mama had this, Papa had this. And, you know, and this just happens in our family, so I just guess I just have to." No, you don't. If you're redemption minded, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who he has redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. If it's coming from the enemy, we've been redeemed for it. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Bless the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word this evening. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, that we are the redeemed. And we say so. We confess and declare that we've been redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. No matter how hard he fight, we know who we are. And we know that our Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I want to speak to those that are